Please be in prayer for those. All right, Genesis 37, we're looking at the life of Joseph. And last week, the pastor talked about the environment of Joseph. Less than stellar, right, was kind of the word you could use, the environment that he grew up in. And just the family conflict and everything that was going on through there. But conflict is good when it's building. Construction itself involves conflict. Okay, there's conflict, right, Brother Bob? When a saw comes into contact with a piece of wood, there's conflict, right? But you can build from the conflict. As a hammer is driving a nail into a piece of wood, that's conflict. But conflict with a purpose, conflict that's building. And when we look at the life of Joseph, you could just look at somebody and say, that is the epitome of conflict. But the character that was developed that he had already, and then as he's going through just thing after thing after thing, that his character just continues to show through his love for the Lord. And the truth is, it seemed like for Joseph, no matter what he did, it didn't go right. If I'm just being and doing what my dad tells me to do, then I'm in trouble for that. Or if I go and I'm sold to an Egyptian, I try to do my best, I get in trouble for that. And then, you know, so on and so forth. But the truth is, you know, sometimes doesn't it seem like we're doing things right, but yet conflict is coming. And have you ever made a decision, maybe a spiritual decision, where it's like, you know what, God's really worked on me about spending time daily in God's word, and I'm going to do that. And then it just kind of seems like everything starts to overflow. It's like, okay, but Lord, I made this decision to do right, or I made this decision to follow you in this area. And whenever we do that, we need to expect the fact that there's going to be conflict when we want to do right. Why? Because we have an enemy who's seeking, who's looking to devour, an enemy who doesn't want you to do right. And so just encourage you in that. Amidst all the conflicts, we find one word for Joseph, and that is faithfulness. Faithfulness amidst everything that was happening. And he was faithful in time of animosity. You're in Genesis 37. He's faithful in time of animosity. Really, it was an environment of animosity, right? I mean, you're talking brothers that you don't want to be around. Okay, I don't have a brother personally, but I can't imagine a multitude that doesn't just dislike you. Okay, we're talking sheer hate, aren't we, by the time we get through this story. And 37, he says, verse 1, and Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpha, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. So he was faithful in time of animosity. He was hated because, number one, he was favored, right, by his father. That's verse 3. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. So there's the recipe for disaster already in the home, is the favoritism that's going on. And then this thought we need to think about is that, you know, God loves all of his children. And I think sometimes it's easy for us to see something going on in someone else's life and say, God, why is that happening to them for good, but I'm battling over here? And how many times we feel like the favor of God is not on us because we perceive that it's with someone else. And we feel like there's almost that sibling rivalry among the brethren, right? And it's like, well, why is that happening to this person? Or I'm trying to do right. Remember, we go back to that thought. I'm trying to do right, but why is this happening? Why can't this just happened for me? And it seems like they have everything going. But God's plan for all of us is not always exactly the same. What does he say? He says, be faithful in the race, be faithful in the course that I have for you. And what did Peter say to the Lord when he was telling him, you know, hey, when you're old, you're going to be taken away and they're going to take you to a place you don't want to go, and telling him how he's going to die. And he says, well, what about this other disciple over here? And Jesus says, it doesn't matter about him. We're focusing on you. And God's faithfulness, God's love is for all of us. And anytime we think that God's love is more on someone else or God's favor is more on someone else than us, all we have to do is look to the cross. and realize the equality of love that we have from the Father to us. And Joseph was hated because he was favored by his father, but he was hated because his life revealed the wickedness of his brothers. Now, we know the character of some of Joseph's brothers, almost all of them, don't we? I mean, how did Joseph just not fall into line, right? I mean, you think about the influence of an older sibling or an older brother. How did Joseph, you know, not go in line with that? It's just incredible. But there must have been some choices that he made. There must have been some influences that he said, you know what, I'm not going to be around this influence. You know, this brother here, I'm going to try to, I love him, but I'm going to stay away, or I'm not going to be involved in what he's doing. But he was hated because the evil report, it says, that Joseph brought unto the father. Joseph being honest, telling what's going on. Have you ever been on a job site, and maybe you get there, maybe you've got a new job, and, you know, you're working, you're trying to do a good job, and, you know, you're not trying to beat everybody else, but it just seems like you're a hard worker and everybody else is kind of slacking, and they come to you and they're like, can you just kind of back off a little bit? Like, you're making the rest of us look bad because you just come in and are ready to go and you're rolling, right? And they say, just back off. Why? Because you just doing what you know to do is reflection on them. And that's why Joseph was hated of his brothers. So he was faithful in time of animosity, but he was faithful in the time of adversity. And a little bit of synonymity there. Look at verse 12. And his brethren went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. And Israel said unto Joseph, do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem? Come, I will send thee unto them. And he said to him, here am I. And he said, go. So Joseph goes. He asks, remember, he meets his mate, verse 15. And behold, he was wandering the field. And the man asked him, saying, what seekest thou? He said, I'm looking for my brothers to feed their flocks. He said, yeah, they're departed hence. He says in verse 17, and when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. He says, look, behold, this dreamer cometh. Remember, he had the dream where they were going to bow down to him, and they hated him yet the more because of the dreams and because of the code. And every time they saw Joseph, it was just enragement that came within them. And he said, before he even comes, he's like, hey, guys, here he comes. Oh, man, I can't stand Joseph. Yeah, me neither. Oh. What are we going to do? And the best thing, not the best thing, but they come up, let's kill him? I mean, not like, hey, let's take his coat or let's try to make him look bad. It's like, let's just get rid of him. It was that bad. But he ends up getting sold into slavery. Reuben, in verse 22, said unto them, shed no blood. Okay, he's the only one that's kind of thinking a little clearly here, right? And then he comes down and he's sold into the Ishmaelites, and come down to verse 31. They took Joseph's coat and killed a kid of the goats and dipped the coat in blood. Why? They're going to tell the father that, hey, he was taken out by, he's killed by a wild animal. Is this his coat? Does this happen to be Joseph's coat? We didn't get a good look at it, but you think this is it? And he's bought by a man by the name of Potiphar in Genesis 39. We can flip over there. And chapter 38 focuses on Judah, but verse 39 comes back to Joseph. And he says in verse 2, and the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And you can't imagine what's going through Joseph's mind as he's being led to Egypt. It's like, what's going to happen to me? I remember you thinking, what did I do wrong? Or could I have done something else? And man, Dad, if only you hadn't asked me to do that this one time, I wouldn't have gotten in trouble. This wouldn't have happened. But the Lord was with him. And this thought came to mind too. Did Joseph know that God was with him? What would he have that would tell him that God was with him? He doesn't have a verse in the Bible that says, I will never leave you nor forsake you, like we have. What was it? Was there communication there between him and the Lord that we don't have recorded? I don't know. But the Lord was with Joseph, and I think Joseph understood the severity of it. We're going to see in just a minute of his relationship with God and the fact that God was always with him. But he was faithful in time of allurement. Look at verse 7. And it came to pass after these things that Potiphar's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph. By the way, Potiphar makes him, head of the household, because he knows, okay, there's something different about this guy right here. What does it say? That Potiphar understood that the Lord was with Joseph. And he puts his household under him. Doesn't have to worry about anything except what he's going to eat. And that's about it. He lets Joseph take care of the rest of it. And then he comes, the master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph and said, Joseph, I want you to come. I want you to be with me. But he refused. He said to his master's wife, I can't do this. There's none greater in this house than I, verse 9. He's not kept back anything from me, but you're his wife, so we can't be together. And it came to pass, verse 10, as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her, or even to be with her, not even to be around her, but he was faithful in time of allurement. How easy could it have been for Joseph to come up with excuses as to why he could have sinned? He could have said, you know, no one's going to find out. Who's going to find out? Who's going to know? And then he might have said, you know what? No one here really knows me. You know, there's no other people like me here. We're all kind of from different areas. All the slaves are just kind of brought in from wherever, maybe. And you know, no one's going to know. They don't really expect anything else of me besides this because maybe they don't know me. You could have thought, you know, God has forsaken me. Maybe that was a thought of his. God's not with me, so does it really matter? But we know his focus was always on the Lord. What does he say in verse 12? He says, how can I do this and sin against, not Potiphar, not my family, not myself. He said, how can I do this and sin against God? And God was on his mind. He was faithful in time of accusation. Look at verse 13. She comes down. She comes up with a story. She comes up with a lie about Joseph. Potiphar's wife does. And what happens? It says that Potiphar's anger, his wrath, was kindled at the end of verse 19. Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison. You know, he was accused, but it was false accusation. And I think in our mind, is there anything worse than false accusation? Like, is there anything that would stir us up more than someone saying something about us that was not true, and we knew the other person was at fault? Okay, it's not just the fact that they lied about me, but they lied making themselves look really good and making me look really bad. But he was faithful, even in the time of accusation. By the way, nothing is recorded in Scripture about Joseph getting back at anyone. You know, what does the book of Proverbs say? That, you know, the Lord is the one who's going to repay. You know, the Lord keeps tabs on everything that's going on. The Lord is aware of everything that takes place in our life. And you know what? We can give those things to the Lord. But nothing about getting back at Potiphar. Remember, his brothers come to him and they say, surely now that our father is dead, what's going to happen? Joseph is going to bring the hammer down on us, right? And he says, guys, you still don't get it, dude. God meant this for good. What a testimony. What a testimony of faithfulness. And based on what we know of Joseph's character, even though nothing's recorded at getting back, you know, we don't believe anything in the retaliation department took place because we know Joseph's character. You know, there's some things in Scripture that you just wish you could see someone's face in Scripture. Or maybe a passage of Scripture that you'd like to see live. I think of John 18 when they come to get Jesus and he says, who are you looking for? And they said, we're looking for Jesus. He says, oh, I'm he. And they fall backwards. Okay, to me, I want to see that. Like, I just want to see it's like he spoke and y'all fell backwards. And then they get up again, and he asks them the same question, and they give him the same answer, okay? I don't know. Maybe they thought it was just a fluke, a strong wind. I don't know, but those are just things, you know, you'd like to see. You have those that you'd like to see. This is one of them. By the time all this is over, all the false accusation, all the adversity, all the allurement that took place, all just the spiritual fatigue, physical fatigue, mental fatigue, it took Joseph to stay away and to keep himself pure. And then Potiphar and his wife find out that Joseph is now number two. I mean, I'm thinking, we are packing up, pack up the house, we are leaving again as far away as we can, right? I mean, you can just imagine what the faces would look like. But he was faithful in time of accusation, and not just accusation, it was false accusation. But he was also faithful in time of affliction. And we know that he's bound in the prison. He ends up getting elevated in position in prison. So he comes there, he says, I'm going to do the best I can. The keeper of the prison says, well, you're in charge. Okay. And Joseph's just faithful. He's just constantly faithful, even in time of affliction, even in time of being bound in prison. It's interesting to me that you come to chapter 40, that the baker and the butler offend their master, the Lord, the king of Egypt. And they dreamed a dream, both of them. This is verse 5. Each man his dream in one night, each man according to the interpretation of his dream. Verse 6. And Joseph came in unto them in the morning and looked upon them, and behold, they were sad. And it's not just the fact that Joseph notices that they're sad. He goes a step further, and he asks Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of his Lord's house, saying, wherefore look ye so sadly today? And this is just kind of one of those really questions. Like, did you really, like, they're in prison. Like, you know, they're going to be sad, right? You're not going to be happy in prison. And he comes and he says, why look ye so sad today? Now, why is a prisoner really worried about another prisoner? Why does he really care? Well, you look sad, but you probably deserve it. How many times do we think that about others? And it's like, well, you got a lot going on in your life, but you know what? You made some bad choices. But Joseph looks at them and he says, why are you so sad? And sometimes, you know, it's even though we're going through affliction, maybe God wants to use us to help others that are in affliction. And maybe God has put something into your life that maybe nobody else knows about. God knows the secrets of the heart, and something maybe you can't share, something maybe you can't fix, but God's putting you through it. Why? Paul writes to Corinthians later on and says, hey, you're going to go through what you're going through so that you can be a comfort to others. And by the way, God is the God of all comfort for all of us, and he's going to put you through what you need to go through so that you can help others. And sometimes we look at our affliction, and I'm not minimizing what anybody's going through tonight, but sometimes we look at the affliction and we say, yeah, look at me. Oh, man. And God says, no. It's not about you. It's about me using you to maybe be a blessing and a help and an encouragement to someone else. And so Joseph shows us that even in a time of affliction, guess what? I'm going to be faithful, number one, but I'm going to be looking at other people and not just myself. Brothers and sisters in Christ, let's stay faithful to the Lord no matter what may come into your life. I think of everything that went to Joseph's life, and one of those bad things, he went through several. One of those would have been enough to probably knock me off my feet and get me away from the faithfulness and the character that I need to show. This part of Joseph's life was like a cycle. He was favored, then he was hated, he was sold, he was lied about, and then he was sold, he was favored, he was lied about, he was in prison, he was favored, and then what happens in chapter 40? He's forgotten. But all the time, the Lord was with Joseph. And the Lord is with us, no matter what we're going through. And God says, I'm sending things in your life. Now, sometimes do bad things happen because we've made poor decisions? Yes. Sometimes things take place because God says, I want to be like the hammer. You're going to be the nail right now, and there's going to be conflict, but it's going to be to construct who I want you to be. Our faithfulness to God should not be dependent on what is going on around us. Our faithfulness to God should be to God because of who he is. Our faithfulness to God should not be dependent on what is going on around us, but our faithfulness should be to God because of who he is and God's goodness to us. And even if bad things are going on, we can remain faithful to God. In turn, we remain faithful to each other. And we build the body of Christ together as we individually go through, and we're on our paths and our own little kind of courses, but what? They're all intersecting. And we're all building each other up. Is that not the use of the word edification in the New Testament? To build up. So brethren, be faithful in times of adversity, animosity, affliction, whatever it is. Think of others and know that God is wanting to work in each and every one of our lives.